Welcome to the Bureau Briefing, a podcast by the Bureau of Digital, an organization devoted to giving digital professionals the support system they never had. Each episode, we're going to talk to a member of our community doing awesome, inspiring things. Now for your host, Carl Smith.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to the Bureau Briefing. It is Carl, and with me today, I have one of my good friends, Jesse Sternsis. How's it going, Jesse?
It's going good. How's it going?
It's going really good. Now, Jesse and I live in the same town, and we both started our own companies, and we also both started our own companies when we were also having families. So I'm not saying that either of us is the brightest of people, but we definitely had this vision of being able to kind of guide our own paths while we were being parents. And we thought today it would be kind of interesting to have this conversation about when you run a small biz and you also are starting a family. So, Jesse, how's it worked out?
Well, we've all survived so far, so I guess it's going okay. What about you?
Well, not bad. You know, when we first started, I used to joke that it was managed madness, that I would always be home for dinner and bath, and then I would just work all night because I was terrified, right? Fear became this huge source of energy for me. That all of these little people were now depending on me, and I had started a company. So what the hell? I had no option except to just keep working until something worked, right?
Yep. Uh-huh. It sounds familiar.
And so you ended up in that same situation?
Pretty much. I think after my first daughter was born, about a year in, I had this like clarity, I guess, in my mind that like time is precious, because when you have a baby, you know, you're kind of rushed to do everything. It seems like you don't have a lot of time. So I was like, you know what? If I don't have a lot of time, then I need to be doing what I love. So I started my company when she was a year old. Great idea.
I started Engine right about the time my second child was born.
Yeah.
In fact, when I was thinking about closing Engine, my daughter, Alyssa, who was the newborn at the time, she said, well, you can't. It's part of the family. Like, we showed up at the same time. It broke my heart. Aww. I was like, what? You know, I think one of the challenges that that I wasn't expecting, because I really thought I'd be able to work from home and do all these things, was I know, right? I ended up having this company that was starting to demand travel.
Yep.
And I was starting to have to go places. And I'll never forget, the big heartbreak for me was one day Alyssa followed me outside. She's probably about 3 years old. And she had her piggy bank with her. And she was following me down the street. And I was like, leave me alone. I'm done with this family. No. She was following me down the driveway as I was getting to the car. And she knew I was leaving, that I was going to the airport. And she handed me her piggy bank. And I said, sweetheart, what are you doing? She goes, Mommy says you have to leave because we need money. Here's money. You can stay.
Aww.
I think it was the first time I ever cried.
Aww.
Because my business and my family had come to odds in this way that I didn't expect.
Yeah. Aww.
And it just got worse. Now, when I came back, we had money and we were able to go to Disney. So she started to associate that when I went away, we would come back and do wonderful things. At that point, she'd be like, don't you have a trip coming up?
And be like, right. Oh.
So then she starts kicking me out. But you travel a tremendous amount.
That wasn't the plan to begin with, though. So it also kind of happened by surprise, I guess.
Well, and so travel for you is definitely a way to generate business.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. like me, I think you hadn't run a business before. So there's this fear about stopping.
That's right. Yeah, no, I mean, the whole reason I started my business is I thought it would give me more flexibility as well. Like with my family, I would be able to do more because I made my own hours, and so that I would be able to like volunteer at school eventually and all that kind of stuff. But I mean, in some ways that's true, but in other ways, you know, I'm busier than ever. And if I'm traveling, it's kind of hard to be at their school at the same time, you know?
Yeah. So I know for me, I've hit these conflicts. I've hit these times when I was on the road. I was in Austin at one point, and my oldest daughter passed out, and they had to get her in an ambulance. And, you know, by the time I could have gotten home, everything was already fine. I've had other situations where it was just like, you know, because my parents are also old. So I'm in that sandwich generation where I had to choose between my business, my parents, and my kids. And those are really tough. So tell me about some of the challenges you've had where you found yourself torn between the business and the family.
I mean, honestly, I feel torn all the time. Like, I feel like it doesn't go away. So, I mean, the most recent situation, which really hit me right in the heart, was I was in San Francisco, I guess, a couple weeks ago, and my oldest daughter had like an incident at school where she got bullied. They were kind of picking on her about her size or something like that. And she was really upset about it. And I hated that I was, you know, across the country and not able to be there and give her a hug and, you know, be there for her in person. And I stayed up like the whole night. I couldn't sleep because I felt so bad that I wasn't, you know, her mom wasn't there. And came home the next day and we, you know, we had a long talk and continue to have, you know, talks about and everything. But, you know, I missed something where I wish I would have been there if I could have been, you know.
Well, and we end up living in FaceTime, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's funny. Like my kids now are 15 and 13. And and we text while we're in the house together. Right? Which is silly and everybody makes jokes about it. But we FaceTime when I'm on the road. So, yeah. So it's like this step up.
Right.
From seeing each other, but FaceTime, as nice as it is, it like your daughter needed a hug.
That's right. So, I mean, you know, it set me back a bit. And then honestly, like it's been something now on my mind, like, okay, how do I, you know, continue to make this work for my business and for my family and make it work better? Because, you know, I want to be here as they get older and, you know, the struggles become more real, I guess you could say. So I'm trying to figure that out. I mean, over the years, I've tried to do things to involve them. So meaning like I'll take them on trips with me so that they can be there and I won't be away. I've figured out how to do a nice portion of my job virtually so I could be home more. So I'm constantly kind of like reflecting and going, okay, is there another way I could be doing this where I don't have to give up my work and our source of income, but that I can also be around more.
And that becomes a challenge as they get older and start to have their own lives.
That's right.
Because I think we miss those early years. Like I was home a lot. Mm-hmm. But I don't know that I was mentally home.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I melted down. I was walking in the MGM Grand in Vegas. I had not just lost a lot of money. It wasn't anything like that. But I'm just walking down the hall. I'm getting ready to get on stage at a future event. And I just started crying. I remember I called my wife and I was like, I just want to be home. It was the end of a 3-week trip.
Mm-hmm.
And 3 weeks is way too long when you've got little kids. Yeah. And she said, I'm not trying to be cold, but just when you're here, be here. And when you're there, be there. And we'll be fine. And I was like, I don't understand. She goes, don't always have your laptop open when you're home. And don't always check your phone. Like, turn stuff off. And then you'll be here more than most, you know?
Yeah, and that's true. Like, I completely agree with what she was saying. And I really try to be conscious of when I'm here, I'm here. So, like, my girls are heavily involved in gymnastics. So, when I'm here, I go and I sit, you know, and I watch their practices and I go to all their meets and I make it a point to close my laptop and my phone and really just be in the moment and watch them do what they do. And so try and separate the things as best as I can. Of course, sometimes things come up because when you're running a company, if you don't get to something, obviously it's still going to be there the next day. And sometimes you can't wait till the last minute.
Yeah, and it doesn't matter. Like you're a sole owner and actually a sole proprietor, right? So you're doing everything yourself for the most part.
Pretty much.
So if you're not doing it, it's not getting done.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, over the years, my husband's taken over a lot of like the logistics of travel and accounting and things like that, just because there was just more work than one person could do by themselves. But still, I mean, you know, even if I'm gone on a work trip, stuff is still piling up that just needs to happen when you're running an everyday, you know, business every day.
So how do you, or have you found a way to relax your mind when you're trying to be present with your kids? Or do you always have that little bit of a voice in the back saying, we're waiting for you?
Yeah, I think certain situations are better than others where I can quiet the voice in my head. So for some reason, I'm really into watching their gymnastics. It really excites me and watching them progress. So I'm pretty good at shutting down that voice then. There might be other functions or things, like maybe we're playing at the park where the voice sort of slips in and I'm like, ah, be quiet. Try to be here, you know, quiet down.
Shut up back there.
Shut up back there wherever you are.
One of the things for me that a piece of research I found that I was real excited about was it said that kids who have parents that are present but hate their jobs generally don't embrace the world as well as parents who are often gone but excited about what they do. And it's this concept that the parents that are excited that like travel or you know might stay at work late, the world out there is really exciting and there's all this opportunity. And so the kids grow up thinking, wow, I can't wait to go out there and be like that. Whereas the parents that come home at 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock and are like, oh, my day was horrible. The kids are like, I never want to leave this house. It is a terrifying place out there. And you talked about taking your kids on the trip with you. Mm-hmm. And how does that go? Because it seems like a great way to show them a little bit of what mommy does when she's gone.
Yeah, I think it is. I mean, one thing that I always hope deep down inside is that my girls will see that, you know, if you put your mind to something, especially in my business where, you know, it's based on improvisation and, you know, and I've been able to create this business for myself out of something that I'm sure most people would be like, what? You have a full-time job doing that? That makes no sense. So I hope that they see, you know, that you can dream up something and work hard and do whatever you want. But then the added bonus is if I bring them, they can be a part of it and see, like have a little taste of what it is I'm doing and where I am when I'm gone and that kind of thing. And they seem to really enjoy it. You know, we've had to pull them out of school from time to time and not very often, but my feeling is they're going to learn a whole lot more by being in the place rather than just reading it in a book, you know?
And that's true. And travel has been shown to be one of the best ways for kids to learn. You know, not only learn in terms of educationally, but in culturally and to be accepting of others and
that's right.
And to learn. The only trip I've ever gone on that involved one of my children was with Alyssa, with my youngest. It was great. She came outside and she was always into rock and roll fashion. And she asked me if there was like a female equivalent of Billy Idol. And I was like, well, let me show you Joan Jett. And so we started talking about these things. She went inside and later she came out and she goes, tell me about Elvis. And so I went on Twitter and I said, my youngest just asked about Elvis. And AIGA Memphis replied back, if you come give us a talk, we'll give you and your daughter a tour of Graceland. And I was like, whoa.
That's amazing.
And so, you know, that trip was great. And we went and some of my favorite photos of her or when I actually wasn't there, I was giving my talk, but she was on a carriage ride around Memphis and, you know, she learned so much. She still talks about that trip and wants to go back. And now I've got this point where my kids are 13 and 15. So I've kind of missed that window, but I also know, you know, I'm at this point now where I'm like, okay, so I've got 5 years left before they're both gone.
But it
changes your mindset. And so, when we first start out, I know I was pleasantly terrified that I was responsible for this. And so I threw every ounce of energy I had into getting this company off the ground. Now I'm really passionate about the work that I'm doing with the Bureau. If something came, but it was my family or the Bureau, it's going to be my family. And there's a challenge though, between providing financially and providing emotionally. And so how have you found your decision-making changing and evolving as your kids get older?
It's definitely evolving. Like a couple days ago, I was just like sitting on the floor with a mind map going, you know, what does success mean? What does happiness mean? And because sometimes I feel like we're on like a hamster wheel, just running without taking a breath. And we're always wondering, at least I am, like, what's next, what's next, what's next? And not stopping to think like how what we're doing could be done differently or, you know, affect something differently. So I try and take the time to evaluate what that even means to me. I feel like society tells us, you know, success means, you know, your business is, your revenue is growing, and that's great and all, but I realize that that isn't really what truly makes me happy. And I think the balance of having time with my kids and my husband is just as important. It makes me happy, and a lot more happy than revenue in a lot of ways.
Well, and it's funny because we spend time to make money to have time.
Yeah.
And anytime you say it that way, you just feel like, oh, well, so we have time, mm-hmm. but we're going to use that to get what? It makes no sense. And obviously, doesn't. You know, no vision of the future involves us in cardboard boxes as a family, right. You know, living under the bridge and all those horrible things that happen. So we're going to keep working. We're going to keep doing all that. But, revenue, increasing revenue. I'm with you. You know, that's one of those things when you would hear, I remember when Engine hadn't crested $1 million in revenue annually, and I would hear other companies had done it and be like, what am I doing wrong?
Right.
Why can't I figure this out? Everything's going to fall apart. And then we did, and I was like, this is kind of just the same. There's really no difference here. And even when we were really, really down, you know, financially, it felt the same. And all those times I spent late at the office, man, I wish I'd just gone home. Mm-hmm. You know, I wish I'd just hung out with my kids and realized that, you know, spending a couple of hours watching bad television on the couch with my kids is much more valuable to me on so many levels mm-hmm. than spending those 2 hours up at work sending out emails to people who didn't want to hear from me.
Mm-hmm. It's confusing. I feel like starting your own business and having your own business is like raising a child. So it's almost like you have an extra child and you can get confused. Like, which child should I be paying attention to? Which one should I be raising right now? You know, and if anxiety creeps in, it's hard to shut down, you know, the business baby.
The business baby.
You know, because I'm like, oh, why is this voice in my head telling me that if I don't keep running like this, I'm going to become like a chimney sweep? Or no offense to chimney sweeps. But. No,
and there are a lot that listen to the show, so I'll edit that out.
Okay, please take that part out.
But it's so true. It's so true that we get so tied up with our businesses. And on top of being something that we create, which means that it does have our DNA in it, right? Mm-hmm. Not really, you know what I'm saying?
Well, it's part of our identity, if you really think about it. You know, if you take that away from most entrepreneurs and founders, they, you know, part of their identity has been taken away.
Well, when you ask people what they do, and you know, this has been talked about a lot. So what do? People say, oh, I own a company, or you know, I started this, or, you know, and then you have the people who say, well, I'm a dad and I'm a runner. And they're like, they annoy you as well. And you know, it's just basically, we should just stop asking everybody what they do.
Just stop talking.
Because we don't care. We just want to know if you're buying the next round.
Yeah.
So when you look back now and you think about the way that you started and everything, what things would you change?
I don't know, honestly. I think one of the reasons I started, honestly, in a way is like, you know, the saying, ignorance is bliss. I think had I known what I know now, I maybe would have been too anxious to even get started.
I'd be working in a bakery.
Yeah, I'd be making cupcakes. But I think, you know, learning to make sure and really carve out that time. Like for me, put it in your calendar and like black out time, you know, to make sure that you are totally present. You have more time with your family, carve it out because you are ultimately in control. And instead of like letting pressure make you feel like you need to keep running, carve it out and stick to it, really stick to that time.
I think that's great advice. I would add to it, don't get annoyed when your family needs you.
Right.
If you feel like nobody understands what you're trying to accomplish, realize that them needing you is the goal. In the sense that they want you to be present, not in the sense that they're desperate without you.
Yeah. Even carving out time for yourself too. I think we don't do a good job of that. And that ultimately reflects on how we take care of our family too. I know that you know, I have to say, okay, from 8 to 9, I'm taking a walk, or from 5:30 to 6:30, I'm going to go do this exercise class, or I'm going to go meet with a friend. Like, unfortunately, you have to schedule those things too for you to shut, you know, shut the other stuff off and make it a point.
And then be very serious with yourself about keeping those appointments, because it's real easy to sacrifice yourself. And then you, that's when that leads to that being annoyed and feeling like you can't do things. When I look back at it, and one of the things I do now is whenever I get asked if I can do something, I just say yes. Even if I can't figure out how to do it then, it'd be like, can you take the girls all the way into school tomorrow? Yes. And I'll rearrange my business stuff, because I know, you know, time is fleeting and we only have this limited amount before they leave, you know, and then we can just business the hell out of everything. Right. At that point, we'll business the living hell out of it.
I love businessing the hell out of things.
Well, Jesse, thank you so much for being with us today on the Bureau Briefing. It was great catching up with you. And I know that I'll see you in a week or so, because we always see each other.
Perfect. See you then. Thanks.
All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you next week.